Our gospel lesson comes from Mark. Early in the gospel, Jesus has been baptized. He's been driven into the wilderness for a time. He is not coming back, and he's just heard word about what happened to John the Baptist. Listen for God's word to you today. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have you ever been reluctant to go where God wanted to send you? I have. Matter of fact, one of the things I had said early on when I felt called to ministry was that I'm willing to go, Lord, anywhere you want to send me, except these five states. Do you know how many states I've been to in this service? Four of the five. And I'm not reminding God of the fact. One of the other things that happened most recently, I remember receiving a call from Philip Lotsby, who said, "Daryl, did you hear about Pisca?" "No." He said, and he told me what happened. He said, "You know, they need an interim." I said, "Yeah, they really do." Pause. He said, "Daryl, that's why I'm calling you." "Why is that, Philip?" "Because I want to pass your name onto that church leadership. I'm wondering if you'd be open to that possibility." I said, "Philip, what part of I'm enjoying retirement did you miss?" He said, "I understand." He said, "But I really think you need to open yourselves up to that possibility." And I said, "I will do that." You know, sometimes we find ourselves in a comfortable place, a place that we feel most at rest and at home, and we really don't want anybody to shake it up, anybody to change it at all. And then, sure enough, there's God wanting to move pieces around one more time. I may be one of those pieces, and I may be called on by God to go somewhere that I really didn't intend to go, doing something I really didn't plan on doing. Yet, all of a sudden, you find yourself there. It's natural to be reluctant. It's natural to be uncertain. It's natural to want to remain comfortable where we are. But it seems like God is one of those change agents that's constantly moving the pieces on the chessboard and challenging us to have to make some moves ourselves. Jonah was one of those reluctant servants. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, a huge city, because they had fallen away from following God in every way, and he wanted him to go to that community and to tell them to repent, change their ways. Now, he'd been successful doing that in other places for God, and so God was choosing somebody with some experience who might do that, and so he invited him to go to Nineveh to do that. And Nineveh, Jonah said, "I'm not going." In fact, he didn't only say, "I'm not going," he fled. He went the opposite direction. He got on a boat. And as he's on the boat, thinking he's escaping, all of a sudden, a storm comes up. People know he's a man of God. They ask him to do something about it. He doesn't know what to do. And so they decide, "Well, then I guess we'll throw you overboard and maybe that'll satisfy the gods." So they do. In doing that, he finds himself being swallowed up by a whale and getting to sit in the belly of a whale for a while to contemplate his future, contemplate what course he may need to choose in the near future. And after some contemplation, he decided he didn't like staying where he was, and so he cried out in distress to the Lord, and the Lord freed him, and the whale spit him out on the land. He got himself washed up, got himself a shower, cleaned up a little bit, All of a sudden, the Lord comes to him again and says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Well, he's already been through this game. He's not going to try it again. And if any of you can try to resist where God wants you to go, you know what we're talking about here. God is persistent. God is unrelenting. God needs you, wants you, and by gosh, my golly, God's going to work to get you there. Because God knows you need to be there. Jonah goes. He does go. And he does proclaim. He knows they're a sinful city. He knows they don't deserve much. But he does what Jesus, what God said to him to do. He did it. And to his great surprise, they repented. They all repented, even all the way to the king. They all put themselves in sackcloth and ashes and literally prayed to the Lord for God to forgive them for all that they had done wrong. Now, how did Jonah feel about that? He was not happy because he thought they deserved to be punished. We've had those moments, haven't we? They deserve to be punished. And so we figure, in our judgment, they deserve to be punished. And so he figured they did. And when they relented and repented, God relented, changed his mind, and didn't punish them. You know, sometimes God just doesn't do what I want God to do. And the way I want God to do it, with whom I want God to do it. No, God chooses a different course than I choose, has a different notion than I do, and we find that God has a different way, different understanding, different perspective. And sometimes we have to open ourselves up to what that perspective is and what it is God's trying to communicate to us and what does God want us to do and be. Now sometimes that's just not an individual quest. Sometimes we make decisions. Almost every time we make decisions, it impacts somebody else. So when we make a decision, it impacts somebody else's life. And they're going to be affected by it. Some which they may like, some which they may not like. But sometimes God doesn't just call us as individuals. Sometimes he calls us as a larger community of faith. And so what is it that God wants Pisgah Presbyterian Church to do in the future? Where does God want us to go? What are the places God wants us to land? Things God wants us to do? That's a good question. But I'm not going to answer it for you. It's your question. What you need to think about it, to say, God is working his purposes out, and I'm wondering how God wants to use us in this place, this frustrating church, for the world which God calls us, and that God does call, and God sends people out to do a variety of things. What is it God wants you to be about? Now, we read the New Testament story, and we think it odd, don't we, that they're not reluctant at all. Jesus comes by, says, hey, follow me. They drop everything to follow him. Did that twice. Got four disciples that way. Is that how it works? Church nominating? Right? You just come by and say, come follow me. And they go, yes, I will go. No, we get resistance. We get some hesitation. But the sense that it seems so antiseptically clean that these people just follow him. Well, people have tried to explain away all kinds of reasons why they left their notes at that time and followed him. Some of which was, they obviously must have heard of him. They obviously might have even experienced him doing miracles, teaching in the neighborhood, working the town. And so they were intrigued by this person. And when he calls them, it's a call that they know what he's asking for because rabbis chose their students. And he chose them to follow him. And he didn't choose everybody. He chose those 12. An odd bunch. And they chose to follow him. Now, before we give them all this credit, well, how come they're so good at following, but I have a little bit of hesitancy, and I don't necessarily follow the food all the time? Because, remember, these are the disciples who, not too long ago, when the Samaritan woman was at the well with Jesus, said, why are you talking to her? And there were people hungry on the hillside, and they said, who's going to feed them? And children crowded around Jesus, and they told him to go away. They get to the point where he's being arrested in the Garden of Eden, and they run and flee. And later they deny even knowing him. Yeah, those are the same people who dropped their nets and followed him. You know, sometimes when you finally start following, it's a little more difficult than you thought it was going to be. These were people who didn't know the destination, didn't quite fully understand the purpose, and were a little bit confused about how this all works. But they did choose to follow him for a good length of time, and out of that they became literally the leaders in the church of Jesus Christ from the very early beginnings, once he was resurrected and appeared to them. But they were reluctant. They were uncertain. They were confused. It wasn't clear to them. Sometimes they had to work hard at trying to understand, but sometimes they just had to trust and obey and see how it works out. Just trust and obey and see how God works out. I don't know about your life. My life has been a constant revealing of what it means to trust and obey. The follower God leads. And God's led me a lot of different places with a lot of different kinds of people doing a variety of things. And that's just my work in the church. That doesn't count the things I do in the rest of my life. And yet somehow God continues to honor the call, and he equips the call to do the work that God wants done. But we need to be open to hear and respond and obey, and then see where God leads us. And sometimes it's a circuitous route to be on the journey of faith with God. Sometimes I'm not quite clear about what the destination really looks like and where this is really going to end us. And we may realize that we are just a part of a long train of followers of him. You are. You weren't here originally when this church first got founded. And my guess is you won't be here when it goes away at some time, if it does. You are here for a period of time. And in this period of time, what is it God that's called you to do? I challenged the officers last Sunday to say, if God's calling you to be an elder and a deacon, then spend the next 3 years trying to figure out why you are being called at this time. But that's not an invitation just to them. It's an invitation to you. What does God want you to do in the life and ministry of this church in the time that is ahead? But thoughtfully, carefully think of it. The church is giving you some means to that by occasionally approaching you and asking you for your help. Be open to it. Sometimes they give you sheets of paper to fill out that identifies your talents and interests and what you might be interested in. And they're going to follow up, and how are you going to respond when they ask you? When you get involved, how will you choose to offer your gifts and talents? Can you hide a few? Not quite let everybody know what you can do? Or we discover that maybe that's the very thing God wants. Once for the church and once for you. It's all about following. It's all about following our Lord. Like follow the leader with children. It's God calls us through Jesus and we hear his voice and we follow to where he goes. Trusting. They didn't know where I was going to lead him, did they? I could have taken them outside, we could have gone to lunch, we could have gone for a hike, right? But they followed me. Foolish or not, they followed me. Because somehow they had some sense of trust in me that I was going to lead them astray, I was not going to lead them into danger. And it was kind of a fun game to play. I get to follow the pastor. I don't know where he's going. I don't know where the destination is. I'm not even sure where the point is. But I'm going to follow. Jesus calls you to be a disciple, to follow him. Your task is to discover the nature of his call to you and respond in the way in which God invites you. But I think I found about every call that I've ever followed in my ministry is I get to use my gifts, I get to further develop them, and hopefully somehow it can make a difference. I think those are all true for you too. God is calling you to do what?